Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Balance, the only sports talk show that gives a well-balanced diet of sports. Host Tom Marquez and the gang are ready to break down this week in sports. This is the one place where fanatics can come together and talk about their favorite teams. The Balance brings you an analytical breakdown of sports from a fan's point of view. So sit back and get ready. It's time for The Balance.
Fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire. Ooh.
Time for Speed Talk with host Cliff Tanner.
You have a beautiful speaking voice.
I'm special and you're not.
From AMA to IRL and NHRA.
Sorry, gentlemen, I'm not a fan of that.
Even NASCAR.
Ooh, I'm ready for NASCAR.
In-person interviews and giveaways.
Incredible talent, incredible variety, like never seen on any other show before.
Along with the ride, as always, is Kenny Bard. You can always visit the gang at RadioSpeedTalk.com.
Ding dong, the witch is dead. Welcome to Speed Talk. I'm sorry, man. I got to say that. You know, I don't know about you guys, but I've been so ready for racing to start. To see, you know, the winter is over as far as I'm concerned. Well, y'all look at like
what witch? I'm really confused here. I kind of like it, but where the hell did that come from?
I have no idea. It just came to the top of my head when we came in, Kenny. I'm sorry, man.
Well, all the laughter's been going on. I'm surprised there's anything left. But
yeah, I'm a little lost.
That's
but
okay.
The witch is the off season is over. We're finally racing. We're having a good time. A lot of crazy things happening that we're going to talk about. But yes, Tom.
Tell everyone where they can find us, Cliff.
I was working on that, but then you was waving like
before.
Yes,
I have to have Kenny get me another root beer.
I'm not making that bet, no more.
All right, you can go to RadioSpeedTalk.com. Check us out there at Facebook.com/RadioSpeedTalk. Tommy's over there on Instagram for his pictures.
Speed snap this.
You got any more pictures up yet?
Yes.
Good.
All right, and Kenny, you're on Twitter.
Yeah, I sure am. Kenny Bar 52, and I even fired off a political statement today. I apologize. Not really, but that's kind of out of character. That I'm very mad at a vendor, but that's a whole other story.
That happens a lot because I've had some of my vendors after the day I've had too. But that was Kenny Bar, you heard. We've got Tom Wolf here, Tiny behind the board, and who has become our newest rookie.
Yeah, he's no longer a rookie.
We need a rookie. No, he's not. Well, yeah, he's still a rookie because it's just a couple of days. But congratulations, Tiny, on a new baby son. What we decide to name him?
Grandson.
Benjamin. There we go.
Grandson.
What did I say?
Son.
Oh, grandson. You're right. I'm sorry.
Well, Tiny's so young-looking,
oh
it might be, you know.
I'm going to be 90 when he graduates from college. Just kidding, man. Congratulations, Tiny. That's pretty cool, man. And the little one gets to come home today, correct?
Yes.
Sweet. Lovely.
So can he ever wear that bib again that says, does it look like I was born yesterday? That's just a one-day, one-outfit wonder there.
Well, you can always do it because it keeps people guessing, right?
Well, I guess you could, but that's a great idea. The million-dollar idea that I didn't think of. That figures. Too busy yelling at vendors to even think of anything creative today.
Well, guys, we got a lot to talk about. Obviously, the Daytona 500 went on, and you know, we had the nationwide the truck race. Both of those were pretty interesting. We had another one of those once-in-a-lifetime crashes that everybody's freaking out about. There's lawsuits coming, as three of them now have lawyers. We'll talk about that a little bit. Talk about Jeremy Clements as he got himself a bit of trouble and was suspended indefinitely. We'll talk about that. And you know, I guess we'll talk about NASCAR. And are they really too tough on these guys? I want to talk about that a little bit. We got Do You Know? And we're also going to talk a little bit about an announcement that NASCAR and Kenny brought up, but NASCAR released about bringing up figures. So we got a lot of stuff to cover. But let's start with the Daytona 500. First of all, I'm glad, at least for now, the Danica hype is over. And you know, don't take me wrong, I think the girl can drive. And, you know, all of that. She broke history by becoming the first one to win the pole and the first one to lead the green laps and all that. And she finished in the top 10. That's all good. But I don't know about you guys, but I don't think it's fair to the rest of the drivers there.
Why?
Yeah, why?
Well, because I just felt that there was too much emphasis put on Danica Patrick, and you know, on all aspects of the racing and everything else. It just seemed to me that too much time was spent on that and not enough on the other 43 guys. I mean, we'll talk about the finish here in a little bit, but we had three medium teams, small budget teams, come in the top 10. Did you hear any play about that?
Yeah, that's why I text you.
One of the things that upset me with the Nationwide, and I can't remember right off the top of my head what channel it was on. I think it was ESPN, because there was a couple of people blasted it on Twitter. It said that the Nationwide race happened today. Danica Patrick didn't win, but we had an accident. You know, so that was like the second story. Which,
right.
You know, I just thought there was too much play on Danica, and again, she's going to be around. I mean, you say what you can say, the girl can drive a car.
I think the eventually all the hype is going to die down. We'll see. You know, once we get to these smaller tracks, we'll see how good of a driver she really is.
Thank you very much. She'll go at Daytona, she'll go at Talladega.
Right.
We've talked about this before. When all you got to do is smash your foot to the floor, take the steering wheel and go every once in a while, that's the kind of driving she's learned to do in the last 10 years in the IRL. When you got to lift, brake, and deal with this 3,400-pound, 850-horsepower, no grip in the rear half the time, that's where the proof's going to be in the pudding.
And I'm in agreement with you, 100%. That's what I'm saying. I think too much emphasis was put on that because there was a lot of other cool stories, you know.
Okay, well, let's quit talking about it right now and go on to the cool stories. They had to get enough mileage out of her,
right?
Because they're going to run out of time, you know. And look at all the press they got, you know, and it's all about the almighty dollar.
Well, they did say that since 2006, it was up 30% of viewership. It was 22% over last year. But, you know, I got to ask you this, and Jimmy Johnson said it tongue-in-cheek about, you know, it's because of him and the Gen 6 car. I think some of it was brought back with the excitement of the Gen 6 car. We know most of it was her, don't get me wrong. But I think there was a little bit of excitement because thinking we're going to see that old-time racing. But, you know, and Kenny, I want you to start after I say this, but that had to be one of the most boring Daytona 500s I have ever seen in my entire life.
I got my nap.
It was single file almost the entire race until the end, you know, and they started going out. And I understand that people are scared, that they don't want to lose their spot or anything like that. But, you know, I just don't get it, you know. I was so excited about seeing this race, thinking we're going to have some great, you know, pack racing side-by-side and race. I mean racing, not just going around in circles. Actual racing, but I didn't. There just wasn't anything.
Yeah, they're just out there riding around. Races are too stinking long. Make them like the Sprint Unlimited and the old shootout stuff, 50 laps, 100 laps. So make them get up on a wheel and giddy up and go right now. Not go out there and cruise for 180 laps and then pit strategy get you into third and then find your way to the front. And that's what NASCAR has developed into. I mean, they used to put up 500-mile races out there for car durability. And that's what Indy started back way back in 1909 and stuff, to see these things actually even go 500 miles at a time. Now, it's not durability. It's to see if you can build one that goes 500 and, you know, let's go to a couple of green-white checkers, 510 miles
right
before it blows up and stuff. So racing has changed completely over the decades and stuff. And I guess I'm just old school and I got an old soul when it comes to racing. I want to see people up on the wheel all the time, constantly. That's why I love Martinsville. So I like Bristol, so I like all the short tracks. I don't even mind the long races at Bristol because there's a lot of extra strategy involved and stuff. When you get these big tracks, the Daytonas and the Talladegas and the Michigans, a lot of times they end up being follow the leader or gas mileage races, and they can be boring at times. So that's why you like watching the first 20 and the last 20. And the rest of it, you can go buy popcorn or do whatever you want to do.
Well, I want to ask you about the Gen 6 car here in a minute, but Tom, what are your thoughts on it, man?
Well, I think we just didn't have enough time. We didn't see enough of the racing in a group during testing, and I think they were all a little bit gun shy after they saw the first two times they tried it. You know, a lot of cars were torn up, so I think there was some reluctance to race. I think as we get farther into this new car, racing's going to get better. Guys are going to take more chances once they, you know, figure out exactly what's going on in the car.
It'll start this weekend.
Yeah.
Because they're not going as fast. They got bigger spoil. They have much more downforce. everybody's going to be handling way better. The race will start this weekend.
Exactly.
Do you think that the Gen 6 car, Kenny, do you think it should have had a bigger spoiler to start off? Would that have helped any, you think?
Oh, yeah, it would help downforce a little bit. But, you know, you got to start somewhere and then evaluate. When Steve Minnick Sr. last week said what he said, I kind of disagreed with him. Now that I watched the race and saw what I saw, he was right. They need to leave it alone, take their time, evaluate things. They got some time before the next restrictor plate race. Get some of those cars back in the wind tunnel. Play with them a little bit more, and you'll see spoiler sizes change before they get to Talladega. I guarantee that, and they'll get bigger.
Well, I know one thing. I think I've decided I'm not no longer doing fantasy race leagues anymore. I cannot believe my luck. My highest driver finished 31st. I had 37 whopping points for the day.
That's probably why I didn't answer any of your guys' email. Like, I'm afraid to. But since you were that bad, maybe I can finish in next to last and be okay.
Yeah, I was going to say, you could start this week and be way ahead of me. So, But it was a crazy race. Tony Stewart, Kyle Busch, Kevin Harvick, three of the biggest favorites, gone. You want to turn around and talk about the Joe Gibbs cars. Every one of them had issues. Matt Kenseth was running so great, and then, boom, his engine's gone. I don't know. Jimmy Johnson wins. A lot of fans are upset about that. I understand. I am, too. You get tired of seeing the guy win, but, you know, they're great. But it's kind of funny, Kenny, and you know, we got a couple minutes here. A lot of people said that Jimmy Johnson wouldn't do any good because he never got out in drafting practice. Is that an advantage?
Yeah,
it's Jimmy Johnson.
Obviously it was. They just did their own thing at practice all the time and worked on their own stuff. Those guys were the smartest guys in the hen house, apparently. They outsmarted everybody. He got in a position where he needed to be at the end of the race and got out front there. He knows how to finish. Put the exclamation point on the thing. He's carting a trophy around and kissed his little girl in victory lane.
Well, Tom, you snickered as I said that. So,
and he's got the best crew chief that can push the envelope and maybe pass it that he can have, you know.
And guess what?
Because remember when he won the last time, Chad wasn't in victory lane.
That's right.
For a reason.
That's right, because he was suspended for what
you
was
tell me
races.
That Chad wasn't running that race over a cell phone either.
Well, exactly.
He was, and that's when the new rule came in. You couldn't call, you couldn't be at the track, you couldn't be anything. So,
yeah.
But
technology is a wonderful thing.
The good news is that the rumors about him being a homosexual are gone, because he's engaged now, by the way. That was announced in Winter Circle, so Chad can announce. I'm just telling you.
Okay.
I just had to say that.
You know where he got to start? Rockford Speedway over in Illinois.
Is that where he started?
Yep. Him and
he was a racer
for a little bit.
Yeah, I didn't know
his
that.
Dad was a racer. And I'm trying to think of some other big name that raced over there. They kind of grew up together. I'm drawing a blank right now, but short track specialist, Rockford Speedway. We'll have to talk about that someday.
Yeah, we'll have to do that, but the guy is definitely smart. But we're going to have to take a break here in a second. We'll finish talking about that and excuse me.
Everything else besides up Cliff, that cigarette deal, catching up with him again today.
Sorry about that, folks. RadioSpeedTalk.com. Check us out there. We come back. We're going to finish talking about the Daytona 500 and a little bit about what happened in the nationwide race and the safety and everything going on with that. So you're listening to
Speed Talk.
Fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
Over the course of history, there have been many great revolutions. The French Revolution, the American Revolution, the Cuban Revolution, and now in 2012, there's a brand new revolution for the Fan Revolution, IndyProSports.com. That's IndyProSports.com. IndyPro Sports is for the serious Indiana fan who roots for the Colts, the Pacers, the Indians, and so much more. Make sure you check out IndyProSports.com. Be a part of the revolution on Twitter, Pro Indy, and on Facebook, Indy Pro Sports.
199 left, and baby, it all comes down to this.
Your talk show for NASCAR.
Yeah, now that's what I'm talking about.
The Balance Online.
Con los terroristas.
Welcome back to Speed Talk, folks. We got Kenny Barr, Tom Wolf, Tiny behind the boards. I'm Cliff Tanner. And again, RadioSpeedTalk.com. You can check everything out there. Old shows, old interviews, pictures, some pictures. You can also catch Kenny at RadioSpeedTalk.com, Tom at RadioSpeedTalk.com, and Cliff at RadioSpeedTalk.com. Give us some input, some things you like. Make some comments, whatever you want to do. We go to Facebook.com/RadioSpeedTalk, and we got Kenny Barr on Twitter, sir?
Kenny Barr 52, KennyBarr 52.
And Tom has really come up into the social media. We can't get him on Twitter, but, man, he threw us off, and you got something new going on, my friend. What's
Instagram,
going on?
Baby.
Talk about it.
Speed Snap This. That's SpeedSnapThis for Kenny.
Well, you just changed that. You know, earlier you said you don't see any need that we had to spell that out.
I'm a team player. I'm a team player.
Well, I'm at Radio Speed Talk too on Twitter. Check us out everywhere. Let us know what you think, man. You got somebody you want to hear interviewed, which we're going to be having coming up here soon. So we've got 2 weeks to Daytona. We already talked a little bit about ARCA. Well, actually, we've got about a week for ARCA, but 2 weeks for the big Daytona 500. We're going to talk about Camping World Truck Series. A lot of changes going on there, including going back to dirt since 1970, and they're also going to go to Mid-Ohio, which... Well, Tom, you've been there. Kenny, did you ever go with us to Mid-Ohio?
I have been to the Indy race with you.
Okay. It's a beautiful facility, but they're going to get NASCAR in there because there has been rumors that the big boys, the Sprint Cup boys, they've been trying to get them in there, so they're going to give it a test on the trucks. I'm not sure how that'll work, though, guys. I mean, on the trucks on a road series?
I'm not seeing it listed on this schedule.
They're at Mid-Ohio. Sitting right there on their on the NASCAR page. As a matter of fact, there was an article that they're going to get extra practice
really?
Time there. And
do you have a date on it?
Well, let me find that for you here real quick.
I got four weddings this summer. I sure hope it's one of them.
Let's see.
No, I'm not getting married four times, but I'm involved in three of the four, and I think the fourth one's close enough. I don't think I can blow it off.
But you're not, huh? Well, as we're looking this up, but I know I saw an article on it. I'm not crazy.
Okay.
Well, now wait a minute.
I'll tell you the one that I'm looking forward to, too. You know, the return to Rockingham.
Yes.
Andy Hillenburg's place.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
I always liked the Rock. That's
yeah.
a fun place to watch.
Absolutely.
Okay. Drove by it once, didn't slow down. Should have.
I apologize, folks. I do not see that on here. So Tom is right.
Just the Nationwide Series going to...
That's Nationwide that's going. That's right. Okay, that's where I got screwed
to,
up. I apologize.
Mid-Ohio.
Yep.
What's the date
but,
on that?
You know, if I can get that campaign started right now for trucks at Mid-Ohio, I'll jump on that bandwagon.
How's come I knew that was coming? All right. With that being said, we'll talk a little bit more about that. And just to let you know, if you're trying to get grandstand tickets for that race... which is in July, you're out of luck.
Start calling your local scalper.
That's right. They're going to be looking. All right, defending champ, another Buescher, the cousin of Chris Buescher and James. And Kenny, we've talked to him before, man. I'm telling you what, it's an up-and-coming kid. Great job. I think he's going to be a good NASCAR driver eventually. But you got Timothy Peters from Red Horse Racing. Joey Coulter went from RCR over to
And I know Kenny doesn't like this, Kyle Busch Motorsports.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, I know.
They get over it.
Yeah, he might win a race because he doesn't have to worry about competing with Ty Dillon, which is going to be a favorite, I'm sure, this year. But you got Parker Klingerman is going to be driving part-time for Kyle Busch Motorsports. Nelson Piquet Jr., James Lofton, Matt Crofton. Man, there's all kinds of people. Johnny Sauter with Thor Sport Racing. You know anything about that, Kenny? That's the first time I heard of that one.
No, it's probably a renamed team somewhere.
Jason White, Cale Gale, Mikel Paluto, Johnny Sauter. Ron Hornaday is going to be running with NTS Motorsports, driving a number 9. Todd Bodine. One of Tom's favorite guys.
Yeah.
The Onion. He doesn't have a ride yet this year, but it looks like he's going to be. Ryan Blaney, those are just some of the guys. And still my favorite, one of my favorite female drivers, Jennifer Jo Cobb, will be around every once in a while. Go ahead.
Brenda Gaughan is going to make another run at it, too. Jeff yep. Burton's got a full-time ride.
Yep.
And who else that I saw that kind of caught my eye? I forget. That's what happened.
Did Britton get a full-time ride?
Yeah.
Oh, and one?
Turner Scott.
Yeah. You know who we're missing?
No.
The other new ride?
No.
James, is it James Wallace?
Oh, Darrell Wallace.
Darrell Wallace, yeah, Junior.
Yeah, that's a
paid. He's got a full-time ride, and guess with who?
I know. I saw it. Maybe that's why they don't want to really bring it up right away. Nelson Piquet Jr., front of Turner Scott again.
Yep.
It's going to be very competitive. It's going to be fun to watch.
I think it is going to be fun. It'd be interesting to see what Joey Coulter is going to do because, you know, the kid's a good driver, and he's out from RCR. And you know, I mean, he's had to put up with both of the Dillon boys. And I don't know, man. Ty Dillon made some mistakes there towards the end of the year. Timothy Peters finished second, his best career ever, and he was only 6 out. So I think we're going to have an interesting race again this year. Obviously, James Buescher, Ty Dillon are probably going to be two of your favorites going through so far for this series because, you know, Ty Dillon wants to move up to Nationwide, right?
Well, sure. I mean, you're this close now, and Grandpa's ready. You know, he's getting the three ready for the other Dillon boy, and they'll just be changing seats coming up the chain of command. One Dillon will go up into the NASCAR Cup. The Winston Cup or I'm giving up my Sprint Cup. Giving up my age again. I'm talking with my hands. I love doing this. And he'll move up to the Nationwide, and then pretty soon it'll be a great big family affair.
Well, I think it's pretty cool. It'll be interesting to see some of the young guys, what they're going to be able to do. But Jeb Burton is definitely, I mean, that kid can drive.
Yeah.
I think he's going to make his daddy look sad before it's all over. And his uncle. Oh, that's well good. But anyway.
Hey, I got something for you, Tom.
Uh-oh, here we go.
I found a YouTube video of the trucks practicing at Eldora on the dirt.
There you go.
Oh, this is going to be fun to watch.
Yeah, they've had an opportunity to get out there, and they're going to get a little extra time to practice out there for some of these guys. But I don't know. I think it's going to be wide open again this year. Red Horse Racing has really came out of nowhere. I remember, what was it, 2 years ago we interviewed those guys down there at Daytona, and Timothy Peterson had won the Daytona truck race the year before, and he was looking as a two-time guy, and he was the only one there. And then we had Miguel Paluto, who, as you pointed out a couple weeks ago, was interviewing with us and actually sewing some patches
on
his suit.
On the uniform.
Throws me $100 in a string and a thread, I'm going to get after it.
Yeah.
Well, it's just kind of cool, and another one of my favorite guys, and I love the guy, and TJ Bell. I mean, you know, the guy's just enthusiastic. You can't always find a full-time ride, but, man, that dude is just...
Right.
He's like 5'2", and just always looking for a good ride. But I don't know. I got to say, again, the favorite's got to have to be Buescher again. I'm not sure if he's going to be able to go back-to-back. What do you think?
It's going to be tough. Piquet Jr. had a nice second half of the year. The Dillon kid, tough. I'm not going to make any predictions. The race is too fickle. It's weird, man. It's going to be fun to watch. Tune in. More to come.
Oh, yeah. That's always good. And Daytona is always a good race to watch, too.
Right.
So.
And probably the most competitive of the three NASCAR series right now.
Oh, I agree.
You know?
I mean, point-wise, I mean, you go last year,
yeah.
let's look. Buescher had 808 points. Timothy had 802. Timothy Peters, sorry about that. Joey Coulter, 789, and Ty Dillon unfortunately got wrecked out early, and he went down to 784. But I can promise you he ain't going to make some of those rookie mistakes he
right.
made last year. But again, Nelson Piquet Jr., like you said, Parker Klingemann, he had a pretty halfway decent second half. And you know who I'd like to see? Johnny Sauter was also pretty well. I'd like to see Ron Hornaday make one more run.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He's an old champ from California and wise, lots of experience. He sneaks in there when...
King of the restarts.
That's. I was just going to go there. King of the restarts.
He was good at that.
Oh, yes.
He can snooker you when you're not... Boy, you better
pay attention.
On that. Yep.
Well, you know, and I hate to say this, and I know he switched teams after all that happened, but he doesn't seem to be the same since that incident with Kyle Busch. I mean, I don't know, even though it was done under caution, they weren't at full speed, but, I mean, he still got smacked around.
Yeah.
You think psychological kind of thing?
Yeah. It just seems like it. I mean,
no.
Like I said, that's just my opinion.
Yeah, well,
I'm allowed.
I think the bigger thing is the equipment. You know, you're talking about, I mean, Kevin and Delana Harvick built a pretty good-sized dynasty there in the truck series and in nationwide, and then when they decided to dismantle that thing, you know, it left a lot of people scrambling. So, just
all right,
saying.
All right, we got about 2.5 minutes left. We got to make a prediction. Anything else you want to bring up about truck series before we go into predictions?
I'm just looking forward to seeing another competitive year out of them, and obviously the return, like I said, to Rockingham and at Eldora on the dirt. This is going to be a good year.
Well, did he just say that? It's going to be a good year on dirt?
Now, if we could just sneak, a road course in there.
Oh, lordy, lordy.
I don't think you could do a truck on a road course very easily. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, they're the same. They're similar chassis. They're just going to look funny. I don't know. I don't think these cars are made for road courses anyway, you know.
Right.
Go put your Indy cars and your F1s and your Indy Vs and that kind of stuff and your sports cars and all that other different divisions on road courses and leave the oval cars to the oval cars. Tom, get that, brother?
I hear you.
Okay.
I'm ignoring it.
All right.
And you Ford fans, there is going to be one Ford F-150 back out there, you know, the best-selling truck in the country for 850 years straight. But there's going to be one out there. You can keep an eye on that and see how they do with that one.
All right. My prediction this year is Joey Coulter is going to pull it out.
Well, I'm picking the Dillon kid. That's a no-brainer.
Did you say Coulter was going, is he driving for Kyle Busch? Yeah, that's going to be a strong team, but I'll take the old man then. I see Hornaday comes back this year and makes it close.
The old man. You writing this down, Cliff?
I'm writing her down, man. The
oh,
old
good.
Man. Which one? Onion?
Hornaday. Yeah.
He's an old man.
I know you're a favorite.
I can't tell you my nickname for him on air.
The Frost on the Pumpkin. Doesn't he sing for you at one time or another?
Ron Hornaday, that's my prediction.
No, that was for our former guy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But he has become Mr. Crash last year. I don't know. It seemed like every time I turned around, what was that, the last race of the year, I think he crashed four times and took some people out in the process of all that. And that could be explained why he's not with Red Horse Racing anymore, because the guy can't afford to put him on.
Yeah, so. Probably. You know, it's just like Phoenix Racing and Kurt Busch. He tore up every car they had, and they only had one out of the 14 left about a third of the way, they're halfway into the season. So stuff gets expensive. You can't bust
sure.
everything up.
Yeah.
Well, there you hear it. I got Joey Coulter, Kenny's got Ty Dillon, and Tom's going with Ron Hornaday Jr. We'll have to ask him one day and maybe even off the air why he chose that, but we need to take
experience.
A break here.
Yours or his?
His.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't want to come up with it, so.
All right, folks. RadioSpeedTop.com. We come back, we're going to talk about Eldora Speedway as our local track of the week, and you are listening to
Speed Talk.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
$199
left,
and baby, it all comes down to this.
Your talk show for NASCAR.
Yeah, now that's what I'm talking about.
The Balance Online.
Open Gangnam Style. Gangnam Style.
Welcome back to Speed Talk. Excuse me, man. Guys, what are you guys doing?
Man, oh man. When we fire up the lights,
what's
he
going on
with me carries
today.
On here. What do you got in this cup? There's lumpy coffee? What's going on here?
Hello. It's been a long day. I apologize. I was around a foundry today, my last stop, and I think I've got a lot of stuff in my throat.
Sucked so, in a little asbestos, did you?
A little bit, yes, I did.
That's always healthy for everybody.
All right, that was Kenny Barr. Tom, this is the security ninja over in the corner. New Grandpa Steve is with us, and I'm Cliff Tanner, RadioSpeedTalk.com, before Tom tries to win some more root beer.
It ain't happening.
Facebook.com.
Is it cold? I could use one of them. I still own three.
I don't know where it went.
Yeah.
I had one
do.
In the fridge.
You
I don't know where the other five went.
Well, there we go.
It's diet root beer, too, so you could drink them all at once and not get fat.
Well, Kenny, you were finishing up your thoughts on the crash.
Well, it's a car. My God, the first thing I saw when I got home was the car, the highlights. I wanted to see the highlights. I wanted to see the crash first. First thing I saw was a car on the back of a wrecker. It wasn't even on a flatbed.
Right.
And I went, where in the hell is the front third of this thing? My God, it's gone. And I never really did see the engine wrapped up in the catch lights until I got onto YouTube and the social media world and stuff. And I went, holy Toledo. What hit these people? How did they get hurt? And I saw a lot of debris going through, which is another thing you're not going to stop. Just like trying to keep mud and dirt off of people at a dirt track. I mean, it's just, unless you put a concrete barrier up where nobody can see through it, it's not going to happen. And then I saw where the tire landed on somebody. So I was just amazed at how the car actually came apart. Man. And I know these cars are built like tanks. It just had to have the right hit at the right angle, the right speed.
Yep. It was a freak thing. I mean, and I do want to bring up one other crash we didn't mention. Michael Annette was airlifted to the hospital for observation. And, you know, the more I watched that, how was that not eerily? The same crash that killed Dale Earnhardt Sr., mm-hmm. The exact same crash. Walks away. That says a lot about right there the safety that NASCAR has put along through. You know, unless you believe the rumors that Dale liked to take his seatbelt off on the last lap. I mean, who knows? But
hot device.
Right. So, you know, and thank God he's okay. And I thought maybe he rang his bell, but apparently it was his sternum and chest that he was having issues
with.
Yeah,
he is out of the car this weekend because he flew back to North Carolina and went to a doctor there, and they found, you know, some other issues and... So
yeah.
He's not going to be racing this weekend.
I had heard about that. Do you know who's going to be in the 43 car?
I have no idea.
I got to catch a plane here. Hurry up.
Yeah, I don't know.
I got my fire suit.
I don't
think helmet's
out
there.
The last and a root beer.
And a root beer. You betcha. 5-hour energy root beer flavor is what we need.
I don't think I didn't recall or don't recall seeing who they were going to put in the car. I just saw the last minute. Thing that he was out of it.
They may not even announce it yet.
Yeah.
I just didn't know if you had heard because I hadn't heard anything. So.
You ought to call James Buescher. He ain't got anything to do till Martinsville.
That's true. And I could very well see that happening. And let's talk about that. You know, again, 28 people hurt, 14 of them, you know, bad enough to go to the hospital. Two of them were serious.
Everything's calmed down. Now, I've been hearing stories that the engine broke somebody's leg and somebody lost a foot. I can't confirm all that. Those are just things I've been hearing the last couple of days. But three of them have contacted lawyers, and I'm kind of upset by this. You know, I mean, first of all, it's a freak accident. You know you're going to take a chance. And Tony Stewart, I want to give kudos to him. What a great, classy guy that was when he went in, and you could literally see the first thing he did was get out of the car. He didn't cheer. He didn't get upset. He kept looking over there saying, I hope everybody's all right. And they come up and ask him, how was the win? He goes, that's secondary. I just want to make sure everybody over there is all right. I thought that was classy of him. I mean, you know.
Did you hear that he went to the hospital the next day?
Yes, he went to the hospital after the Daytona
500. Keep that under the radar. That ain't going to happen.
Yeah, that's not going to happen with Tony Stewart.
No.
But, again, one of those things that how much people change. But I want to talk about them going out and getting a lawyer to sue them. That kind of upsets me because, first of all, I've been to major league games. I've been to a hockey game. I've been to basketball. I've been to all of them. And they all have that waiver we were talking about. Well, they don't sign it, but it says that the team or the Speedway or whatever is not responsible for those things. You're sitting in a dangerous environment. And Tony said it best. You know, we as drivers know we're getting into a dangerous sport, but we don't want to make it dangerous for the fans. You're going to have this happen once in a blue moon. You can't stop it. But I don't see, Kenny, like you said, I don't see how they have a leg to stand on. And do you really honestly think, and Tom, I want you to chime in on this a little bit too, do you really think it's going to come down to having to sign a waiver to do this? And is that going to increase the price of the tickets to pay for something like that?
Well, I would like to think that the nasty little sharks who are operating off of the percentage of winnings just get blown out of the water on these particular ones. Lawsuits that may or may not be forthcoming. They'll probably settle something out of court to keep it way under the radar and stuff.
But even still, it shouldn't be allowed.
Well, you know, there's just too many dirtbags out there that they're going to try and take advantage of every situation at any time. Greed and various other things just drive this moral bankrupt country that we have. And it's just going to happen. NASCAR's got plenty of lawyers, and they got plenty of money, and they got plenty of insurance, too. So the insurance companies and lawyers will work all that out. Will it raise the price of a ticket? Probably not. Will it make us sign a waiver to just step foot in the grounds? Probably not. But it's just bad press. I hope this thing gets swept under the rug quietly and we don't ever talk about it again. But it's because of the morally bankrupt people that are in this country and the frivolous lawsuits that laws allow to have happen. They should throw these things out of court, you know, left and right all day long.
Tom, what are your thoughts?
We're in a litigious society where...
Litigious.
Ooh.
The first thing you do is...
You could tell
he
was waiting to see
sue. Sue.
Litigation's in there somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, that's why you went to me first so he could think about whatever vocabulary when he's going to pop out of there, I'm sure.
Oh, that's right. He was looking at his iPhone.
Yeah, Siri was quiet, but he was doing something, I know.
Anyway, sorry. Go ahead.
I'm with Kenny on the whole thing. But when we go, you know, we have to sign those waivers, and when you guys put me down as the guinea pig photographer, you know, my waiver is a little bit more sometimes.
Really?
Yeah.
Like? You never read it, so how do you know?
Yeah, I don't
None
read
of us
it.
Read
I just sign it. But,
it's
you know, we pretty much
longer,
know what we're doing.
It's a longer waiver page.
Is it really?
Yes.
For a photographer? Just
yes,
because you may be a little bit closer to the action?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, so I can
because
shove
I,
you
because
in front
I,
of somebody, and it's all okay now, huh?
I said to the ARCA official when we went up to Toledo, how close to that wall can I go to photograph? And he said, did you sign that waiver agreement when you came in? And I said, yes, I did. He said, then you can go as close as you're brave enough to go. And when you're standing next to a wall that's about 2.5 feet tall and the car's going past you at 180 miles an hour, you don't stand there for a lot of time, you know.
It depends on what kind of stones you got.
About the accident itself is just the, you know, the way the car came apart. And I don't think, like we said in the last segment, I don't think you can predict that, you know. It just caught the fence at the right or the wrong spot. And, you know, thankfully no one got severely injured. You know, when you get a tire and part of the axle assembly going up into the stands, that usually doesn't result in a good ending. And I'm glad that this time maybe it had a chance to either catch something or hit, you know, seats that weren't occupied before it hit the guy that it did hit. I think NASCAR will take a look at it. I still think the problem is not with the fence itself. It's how that car got airborne like it did. And I've seen, like I told you guys, I saw some of the still shots that were taken from the infield, and that car was really through that fence a ways, but still the fence did its job and threw it back onto the, you know, onto the racing surface.
Right.
So I don't think the problem is with the fence. I think they need to take a look. I don't think the car, you know, you said something about the roof flaps in the last segment, and I'd have to go back and take a look at it. I don't think the car had a chance to really, I mean, it snapped so violently sideways. I don't think the roof flaps even had a chance to deploy to keep it there. It looked to me like it hit the fence so hard that maybe the give on the fence itself, the safer barrier, sprung that car upwards instead of maybe pushing it back out where the roof flaps would have had a chance to do their job. So I think NASCAR's got to take a look at all of it and just go from there.
Yeah, I haven't seen a really good angle on that thing at all. They got the one shot that you see from the flag stand. You see a couple from the grandstand. And what you really need to see is from the infield, and there's probably not a camera there to get what you really want to know.
Now, there were some good still pictures that were taken, and you can...
I can promise you that a lot of that was stopped, because there was a couple of YouTube videos that people put up from their phones. NASCAR went and got lawyers and got them taken down.
Right.
So there's some shots. NASCAR has always been like that, and that's kind of a segue into the next one. But I will say this, and I'm not saying nothing bad about Nationwide or anything else. I'm glad it wasn't a sprint race, because it would have been a lot worse.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a lot of thankfulness to go there. Jeremy Clements, the number 51 driver in the NASCAR Nationwide, was indefinitely suspended from NASCAR for violating their code of conduct on February 23rd. And it is their Section 7.5, NASCAR's code of conduct, and 12-1, actions detrimental to stock car racing. Apparently, he was doing an interview with somebody, and you guys can chime in here a couple of minutes here, too. But he was basically suspended indefinitely for making a statement he shouldn't have. It's been said that it was racially slurred, however that is. We don't ever know. But from what I understand, Kenny, you were saying it wasn't even recorded.
No. That wasn't recorded. Well, there's three people standing around, according to what I read. One, an MTV guy, and one an ESPN person, and him. No cameras, no recording, no nothing. Somebody asked him how to get somewhere, and he gave him some directions with a racial slur thrown in the middle of it, not directed at any particular individual. And if he'd have lied about it and told the powers to be that he didn't say that, there was no proof of the pudding, and this thing could have been under the radar. Been buried, been gone. But he, with an honest bone in his body, said, yes, I said that, and now he's going through a whole bunch of garbage. I hope they are lighter than what all the media reports say they're going to be, because he told the truth. And he'll go through the sensitivity training and all the other gobbledygook you're going to have to go through and stuff, but this could have been buried under the radar. This falls under the word shop talk in my mind. I mean, gosh,
right.
How many times have we been at a racetrack and you've heard every single word in the book polished up and used and incorrectly, even, you know, they don't get litigation words and things and nothing over four syllables ever at the racetrack.
All right, we're going to have to take a break here, and I want to go into this a little bit more, because I don't care what Clements did. What I care about is NASCAR being too crazy.
Yeah, they are.
And we'll talk about that.
Political correct.
We'll talk about that. We'll finish up with that, and before we do, Kenny's Do You Know. And again, you can go to RadioSpeedTalk.com, go to Facebook.com/RadioSpeedTalk. Kenny is at Twitter at KennyBar52. I'm at RadioSpeedTalk2. He's the number two.
He's not sure where he's at.
I'm telling you, I'm sorry.
Tom's at Instagram.
Speed snap this.
And you got some more pictures up, I understand.
Yeah.
What do you got?
Go there and
go and look.
Oh, you bum. You won't get on Twitter. I'm not getting on Speed Snap This.
Oh, here we go.
It's happening.
All right, anyway, folks, we're going to be right back. You're listening to...
If you take a picture, I want a freebie anyway.
Speed Talk.
That's called a comp, isn't it?
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
199 left, and baby, it all comes down to this.
Your talk show for NASCAR.
Yeah! Now that's what I'm talking about.
The Balance Online.
Welcome back to Speed Talk. Kenny Barr, Tom Wolf, Tiny Behind the Boards, the Security Ninja over there, Cliff Tanner at RadioSpeedTalk.com, Facebook.com/RadioSpeedTalk. I'm sorry, I'm rushing through this, guy, so we can get done. We'll talk about Twitter and all that towards the end of the show. All right, back to Jeremy Clements. I just want to make this. He did make a comment that he went to church and came back, and there was a message from NASCAR, and he said, this can't be good. But I want to talk about not necessarily what Clements did, because I think NASCAR has become the what do you want to call it, the almighty Oz, or why, maybe I'll go this route. Why are they so tight, and why are they so quick to throw stuff out? Is it a political game?
They're trying to appeal to a larger audience other than the 25 to 45 American male. They're trying to get teenagers, they're trying to get old folks, they're trying to get women, they're trying to get as many viewers and people interested in NASCAR and buying T-shirts and buying everything that they have to sell, or catering to the NASCAR official fuels or whatever. They're just trying to appeal to a larger audience, and they think that you have to be politically, and you probably do, you have to be a little more tight, a little more politically correct to do that, and that's why they're tightening the screws.
Well, then maybe they need to stop having 50 Cent in the racing back there. And I'm not saying this is a racial thing, because I know this is going to come out this way, but he tweeted, damn, there are no white people here. Or no black people here, that's what he said. So, but yeah, I don't know why they feel that they can just... I don't know, man. It really gets me that they can, you know, it's like they find somebody and they pick on them and they just blast them. I mean, kind of like what we see with some of the local tracks around here.
You know, I'm sure maybe some of it is a liability issue, you know, and they don't want to put out what exactly, you know, was said. But it goes back to last year and the secret fines that were given out.
Right.
And I wish they would just come clean, whether it's, in this case, you know, you can edit that. Just tell us what he said. You know, let us make our own judgment on it. And the secret fines that they did on the drivers for voicing their opinion, and I don't like that either. And you know, I guess when you have a section of NASCAR's code of conduct, you know, you can get thrown out for anything, you know?
They control
and
what they do.
So I guess what I'd rather see them do, whether it's in this case or any other cases like that, and even with the drug testing policy, tell us what they did, you know? Tell us what the drug they you know, was found in their system. Tell us what this guy actually said, you know? Just give it to us straight. We're all big boys. Let's hear it, you know?
Yeah, and another thing I thought of when Tom was talking, it was they do this also because their diversity program wouldn't hold any water if they didn't keep all this way, way super tight. which kind of brings me to my story.
That's what I was going to
say.
Part
of the diversity thing.
That's a great segue into your...
Well, and I thought about this because, you know, diversity is always on the back burner, and sometimes it comes to the forefront at various weekends, depending on how many Danica stories they have to talk about. And my crack research team, and I really do have three or four people that kind of eyeball the internet for things like this, found a great story about a African-American racer back in the 30s. And I'm going to read it almost verbatim because I don't think I could embellish this any more than what it really is. It's good. A guy named Rajo Jack was a racer on the West Coast. It's long before Rosa Parks refused to give up her seat on the bus, and over a decade before Jackie Robinson broke the color barrier in baseball, Rajo Jack was racing and winning dirt track races up and down the West Coast. Despite the stigma of dirt track racers' intolerance for minorities during the 30s and 40s and 50s, the other racers respected Rajo Jack's racing talent. They traveled between races as a group, and they would band together when restaurant owners refused to serve him. Other drivers demanded that he be served, or they would all bail out, and more often than not, the restaurant owners would cave, which made perfect sense. Why not serve 50 meals when you want to refuse one? The same situation would occur at motels, and they'd all band together, and Rajo would end up getting a room often with his wife. Now, he had to bring his wife with him because on the road, if he knew that he won, he wouldn't be able to kiss the white trophy girl. So Ruth, his wife, would do the trophy girl's job, give Rajo the trophy and a kiss. The National Sprint Car Hall of Fame recounts a story where he once let the other driver win in a two-lap match race because he knew he couldn't kiss the white trophy girl. That's how bad it was.
Wow.
Rajo Jack, born in 1905, Dewey Gaston. It was his real name in Tyler, Texas. And to get around the color barrier, sometimes he adopted the name Rajo Jack and often claimed to be Native American and other times claimed to be Portuguese. And he also used the name Jack DeSoto. He got the nickname Rajo because Rajo was a kit that you could buy. I'm going off script here a little bit. To soup up flathead Fords.
No kidding.
And one of the things he did was sell automotive parts, along with a lot of other things he did to make money to go racing. The prominent racing association of the time was the AAA. He never raced in the AAA, which made him one of the original outlaw racers. We still have outlaw racers running around today. That had its own drawbacks, and the AAA members could, only AAA members could race in the Indianapolis 500. Rajo claimed that he couldn't pass the physical examination for the membership because he was blind in one eye. There you go, a racer who's whipping you with can only see out of one eye. That makes you feel bad.
Yeah.
But all the racers knew it was because he was black. He sold auto parts, raced, worked as a mechanic, and passed away, oddly enough, on my birthday, February 27th, but 4 years before I was born. Traveling with his brother, had heart failure. Some of the races that he won, and these are impressive races. In 1934, he won a 200-mile stock car race in San Diego at a joint called Silvergate Speedway. It's long gone. 100-miler at San Jose, another 200-mile at Mines Field. He won a 300-mile stock car race at Oakland. That's in 1937. Then racing was big on the West Coast, even during the Depression. In other words, a 500-miler at Oakland Speedway while he was a co-driver. Southern Ascot, which is something people have heard about. He's won a 300-miler or 300-lapper there, a 250-lap stock car race in 40, both driving a Citroën, which sounds foreign to me, so I should let me do that again. Both driving a Citroën. Thank you very much. French. Thanks, Tiny. He was so good that he has been inducted into the West Coast Stock Car Hall of Fame in 2003 and the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame in 2007. So there's a lot of good black racers out there that just want to get in the mix because of the redneckness and the way they're treated and stuff. And I truly would like to see the Willie T. Ribbs of the world and those guys come out, Antron Brown, and just put away the racism, folks. If they can race, let them race, you know. And now you know the story of Rajo Jack.
And I'll tell you what, that's kind of interesting, man, especially back in the early 1900s. And it's a shame he couldn't race in the Indy 500.
Yeah.
I mean, that wouldn't be so much as the quote-unquote redneck racing of NASCAR down in the South, because, I mean, pretty much that's all NASCAR was back then.
Well, Indy let every foreign dude in the whole wide world come over and take a crack at it, but they won't let a guy from Tyler, Texas in there? Boo. Bad decision. But that's history, and And every once in a while we pull something out of a hat that nobody's ever heard of, and I hadn't heard of this till a couple of weeks ago when
your,
my research
your
staff
crack
gives
research
me.
Staff,
absolutely.
The millions and millions.
Well, no, about four of them actually, but
4 million?
No, just four dudes. One of them really finds some obscure stuff, and I go, oh, my God, you need to work more instead of playing the Internet. That benefits me. So.
Did you write them up?
No, because if he gets me one a month, I just keep it down to
you
the radar.
You keep it right. Okay, that's cool. Fair enough. Well, let's talk a little bit. That kind of segues into, you know, we talked about attendance. And, you know, we've talked with Roger Curtis from Michigan International Speedway. We've talked with Joey Chitwood. And nobody seems to want to ever come up with a true mark, and Tiny made some good points as to why that's not done. And, you know, I just, the announcements come out that that's not going to happen anymore. Kenny, your thoughts?
Well, I'm not surprised. I mean, the attendance has been slowly going down for just about everybody with the exception of a few tracks, and once Tom figures this out, then I'm going to change subjects really fast, because once he figures out what tracks are not fading, it kind of makes me mad. But, there's some notes in here that really surprised me how many people have actually taken seats away and how many they had taken out of there.
Michigan.
Michigan took probably the most out. They were at, let me go root through this a little bit. Phoenix went from 67 to 55,000.
Right.
Yeah, but the amount of seats really surprised me. We were told it was only about 10,000.
No, they
took out a bunch of seats. It was at 129, now it's 84,000. That's a lot of seats.
That was done in two clumps. The one was 10,000, and then they did another 20-something thousand.
That's still
last
a lot
year
of seats.
Or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
And now, why do they do that? Empty seats don't cost you any money to have there. It's got to be the perception on television.
It's that, and they claim they can get more room out in their fan spaces if they don't have acres and acres of stuff out there to do anyway.
The facility is a 2-mile racetrack with gobs and gobs and gobs. That's
you're preaching to the choir, my friend.
Yeah.
We've
been in that building when we go in to get credentials at Michigan. I mean, we've walked in there and seen the sections of stands that they've stored in that one building.
Yeah.
And they have, but you know, they've shipped some of that to other tracks that did need it where they could rotate it around. So I'm with Kenny. It's got to be the perception on TV. They don't want to show those big empty stands.
They're probably raising the price of tickets, so they're not losing revenue-ish per se.
I don't think they've raised the price of tickets. I actually think they've brought them down and made, you know, I mean, you could go up to Michigan a couple of years ago at least and for $12 get into, you know, the...
$99 was a family of four.
Could be. I don't know. I don't pay for tickets very often anymore.
So I...
Well, we don't either, but... But, you know, to get people in the stands, you know.
Sure.
But you're right, Tom. I mean, it's definitely perception. I mean, I have no doubt. I mean, what was it, the Indy 500 or the NASCAR or the Rickyard? You see a lot of shots, and they would go right in the center of the track. And, I mean, look at all the empty seats. I mean, even my mom made a statement when she was watching some of the stuff with me about how empty, you know, the stands looked.
Yeah, Indy's numbers, I'm going to go from 2007 forward, 270,000. 2008 was 240,000, down to 180. What year was the tire gate? And then it dropped to 140, 138. Last year it was 125. And permanent seating, they hold a quarter of a million people, 257,000 people. So that thing's slowly been dying attendance-wise and stuff. The two tracks, I'm going to have to say it just to make Tom's day. I got a minute or so. The two tracks that don't seem to be suffering are these stupid turn right race course Watkins Glen Sonoma rotten stinking. I can't stand them, but the fans seem to like the 3-day party. They're still packing them in. Permanent seating at Sonoma is 47,000. Last year they had 91,000 people in the facility, and the highest they've ever had is 102, so they're not dropping off much. And Watkins Glen hasn't dropped off at all. 90,000 in 2007. You go across the board here, 87, 80, 90, 85, and 90,000. So,
well, I didn't want to end the show that way, Kenny. Thanks, man.
But I have to give Tom a little bit of kudos. Maybe I should relax my stance a smidgen on road courses and the popularity therein.
But the
only
beauty,
if it becomes ice, sand, and oil.
But the beauty part with the road course, and that is you're not confined to a seat so much as you can walk around that entire track and watch a little bit here, a little bit there.
And that's the whole point, a little bit. If I'm at a 2.5 mile
road, well, I can tell you, I'll tell you straight up.
Drag strip,
you know, maybe we might have to continue this argument.
We're
going
to have to do
next
this
show
time because we've already gone over. But all right, RadioSpeedTalk.com. Check us there. Facebook.com/RadioSpeedTalk. Kenny, real quick, Twitter.
KennyBar52.
Tom, Instagram.
Speed snap this.
All right, I'm at Radio Speed Talk with the number 2. Again, congratulations, Tiny, on becoming a grandpa. All right, folks, well, it's time to get out of here, man. You've been listening to
Speed Talk, Tom.
Speed Talk.
Join us next week for The Balance. In the meantime, check us out on Twitter, T-Balance, or Facebook, The Balance, or online at www.thebalanceonline.com.